That's one of the reasons I want to talk to you. Farmer's coming in, I believe, today with this woman, Ms. Cheney from Mississippi, whose son was lost, and he wants to talk to me.
Well,
I thought I'd listen to him, and I don't know what he's got on his mind, but I thought if he'd give me an opening, I'd tell him how important I thought it was if they're to have any benefits from this law that we fought 100 years to pass. Why, they ought to get out and get us some congressmen to keep from repealing it.
Yes, that's right. I think it'd be very important to tell him because he's fundamentally a very nice fellow and a very able fellow and a sensible one. Of course, he's head of this corps, and they're the more extreme of all these so-called organized groups, except when you get into the class of some of the extremist groups, the communist-inspired ones and so forth. But he has felt that he has to be just a little to the left of his own people in order to hold on and to keep his position. And I think it'd be very, very helpful in doing what you're going to do with him. I mean, to give him a little talking to, because he's the one that's who sort of drifted off. And frankly, Mr. President, lost a good deal of his influence up here because he has been so extreme. I know that just before I got back, when Scrivain and the others worked up a program, he privately told them this was very fine, and then an hour later publicly denounced it. You know, that's our business. But maybe he's sobered down a bit, and I certainly think that you speak to him in your own way, it'll be very, very helpful.
I'll do that. Some of these Republicans are trying to stir up a little trouble, friction at the convention. And if you get a chance and you feel disposed to do it, I would personally appreciate it very much if you'd let the word leak out, not direct attribution, but that the leadership there feels like that there'd be no problem with the convention. It's been traditional to go along with the president, and they don't want the president to be required to sleep with anybody he doesn't want to sleep with, and he ought to have a man with vice president that he trusts and likes and can work with him. We ought to have a divided ticket to start, and therefore expect to support the man the president selects.
Right. I'll be able to do that very easily.
Do you have any feeling that there's any leader up there that wouldn't?
No, I think that they'll all be 100%. After all, they know that you're going to be the nominee and that you're going to win, and why should they want to fight with you?
That's what I can't understand. I don't think anybody does, except a few of them want to promote a fight to the papers, and I get a little excitement, and I just don't think it can do us a bit of good to have a divided thing there, divided party. And if you'll get that out, I don't want it coming from me, but you just get it out pretty well, and I'll be talking to you a little later. And now on this thing, I'll see you this weekend. Driver will be available if he's in town. I hear his people Saturday or Sunday or Monday, and anything you want, we're prepared to go in there and try to help you get and go all the way to support you.
Right,
I know what problem you got, and your big problem there is that these people got to find some work, and we are hoping, and we don't know. We only got 190 votes at the moment, and if you've got any labor leader that's friendly to you in New York, you ought to tell them, particularly these building trades boys, and Brennan and some of those, to tell George Meany to please level every way they can on the Republicans. We need 15-20 votes to pass the poverty bill. They met yesterday unanimously, going to start fighting it, and we've got to go to some liberal labor districts in Pennsylvania and upstate New York and any place we can to get a few Republicans.
Right.
We've got to get people like John Lindsay.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get him, but it's going to mean more to you and Dick Daley than nearly anybody. These fellas have got pockets of unemployment in the Harlems and the slum areas. We can take 100,000 boys and put them out pretty quick at pretty good jobs, and we can move within 90 days. But we need to get some of the folks like John Lindsay. Now, Alex Rose and David Dubinsky told me that they were gonna help, and they did help a good deal in the Senate. They got us 10 liberal votes in the Senate of the United States. It passed 2-1 in the Senate. But in the House, we need 218, we got 190. And
I'll get hold of Harry Van Osdale.
That's it.
And Ray Corbett, who's head of the state's AFL-CIO.
Now tell him, Bob, do this on your own, because if Meany thinks I am calling him, I've talked to him and he says he'll help, but I just need to have a real enthusiasm. You just say that you're going down to Washington, you're going to try to get this poverty thing put in, you're going to try to get some young people jobs, you're going to try to stop this thing. You don't want them taking working men's jobs, but you're going to get them some jobs and create some more jobs. And for God's sakes, for them to get on the phone and tell Meany to please get 15, 20 Republican votes.
Oh, fine. I'll get right away. Working on it right away.
And get your liberal people, whoever can talk to the Lindsays, and get some commitments out of Lindsay and Ogden Reed. He's got a problem.
Yeah.
Two or three of those folks that got a little semblance of liberalism.
Right.
Because we need him. Ogden Reed, somebody ought to really work on him and work on Lindsay and anybody else that votes kind of like Javits does.
Yeah, right.
And you get this statement get your post and your times and try to get it out pretty good. That's the sentiment pretty well of all the leaders.
Right.
Thank you, Bob.
Right.
Bye.
I will, Mr. President.
Bye.